The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is challenging us today. Jesus is giving us real tough challenges in the gospel of today. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and his mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Someone who has not been talking to his dad or his mom or brothers or sisters here today will say yes. Jesus got it, right? Jesus got it. We are doing the fight. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus goes again to say, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Carry his own cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Then he says, anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Are we all right? So here we are looking at the cost of discipleship. And if you look at it very well, you would notice that faith is a sign of contradiction. Faith, when lived out according to the demands of the gospel, according to the demands of Christ, can contradict the ways of the world. What would you say living out your faith has cost you? What would you say that following Jesus has cost you? Have you given up anything to follow Christ? And what does that mean to you, carrying your cross? Very recently, I had a funeral for a young woman, about 41 years. And that funeral was done at a funeral home. You know the atmosphere. It's usually very quiet and kind of intense, especially given that it was a young woman. By the time we concluded the prayers, and then everybody was about to leave. Just that moment when it was quiet, most quiet, the 5-year-old daughter of this woman said, "I want to see my mom." The dad, the mom's sister, were sitting beside her, and then everybody didn't understand what she was asking at first. So she repeated, "I want to see my mom." So the dad picked her up, accompanied by the mom's sister, and then they went to the casket. So what I did was I went with them and then stood beside the dad. The casket usually has two latches. There's the upper section and then there's the lower section. The lower section was not open, but the upper section was open, which showed like from the stomach up to the head. So this little girl looked at the mom and asked the dad, why are mom's legs covered? The dad said, "Mom's legs are beautiful," and then kind of wanted to take her attention from that question. So, but this little girl had stacks of drawings and paintings that she brought for the mom. So she began to bring one by one from her stack these drawings. And then she would say to her mom, "Mom, I know you love this drawing," and she would describe what it is. And then she said, "I am giving it to you, and I know you love it. Mom, here is the drawing." Then she would bring another one, and she would say, "Mom, you remember my friend Anna? Anna made this drawing in school, and she said I should give it to you." Then she handed it over to the mom. And she was conversing with the mom as if the mom was hearing her. At 5 years, the concept of death doesn't so much connect, right? So she was doing this. And at this point, it was becoming so much for everybody in the room. And then I kept rubbing the back of the dad, and the dad was beginning to tear up, and the aunt and everybody there. So the dad turned to me and put this question to me, "Father, why does God decide to place this cross on me at this time?" I couldn't answer that question at that point. I wasn't prepared to answer that question there. So what I did was just get closer to the little girl and explain to her a little bit that mom is going to join the angels and mom will be looking over you and she will be praying for you from there. So to make her understand a little of what was going on. After that, a lot of thoughts were going on in my head. And when I hear the readings of today and the issue of taking up our crosses and following Christ, the question by this man, "Why does God decide to place this cross on me at this time?" comes to my mind. It is possible that each and every one of us has had their moments. It's possible that we have had different moments when we stop and ask God questions. "Why do you let this cross be on me at this time?" It can be a different thing. And Christ says, "Take up your own cross." That's why he says, "Take up your own cross and follow me." So it could be health, it could be children, it could be addiction, it could be anything. But think about that moment when it feels to you like this cross is so heavy. So heavy on me, so much that it feels like my world is ending, my world is crashing, my world is crumbling. What comes to your mind? There's this German theologian, his name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, is a German name, so I may not get it well. But the spelling is B-O-N-H-O-E-F-F-E-R, Bonhoeffer. He has a book, and the title of that book is The Cost of Discipleship. In that book, this man says that discipleship is costly because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Costly because it costs a man his life or a woman his life. That is on one end. That is on this end. That is the horizontal. But grace, because it gives the man the only true life. Underline that. The only true life. And what is that only true life? That only true life answers the question, Father, why does God decide to place this cross on me at this time? You know, the cross has vertical and horizontal dimensions, right? The thing is that we want to stay on the horizontal most of the times. Most of the times we want to stay on the horizontal. Like, easy, easy, easy does it, right? It is hard to connect with the vertical, but the vertical is what gives the horizontal its meaning for us as Christians, for us as Catholics. And that is why Christ will invite you. Christ says, come to me, all you who labor. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That is what he says. Imagine Paul writing to Philemon in the second letter, in the second reading of today. Paul talks to Philemon and demands of Philemon to accept back Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave. So he was a runaway slave and eventually came in contact with Paul. And Paul describes him as my son in prison. Paul is writing at this point as an old man, but still with the passion, with the desire for the gospel. And Paul challenges Philemon and tells him, accept this man back, no longer as your slave, but as a brother in Christ. Accept him no longer as your slave, but as an equal, as a partner with you in the gospel of Christ. Philemon, at this point, is going to carry the cross that Paul is asking him. Take him back, says voluntarily. So it's no longer your own will, it's the will of God that is happening in your life. That is what this cross means. The will of God has to prevail in your life at this point. And then Christ says in the gospel, if anyone comes to me without hating father, mother, brother, or sister, even his own life. So why would Christ ask us to hate father, to hate mother, to hate brother, to hate sister, to hate even our own lives? The answer can be found in this statement by this man, Bonhoeffer, that it is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives that only true life that we desire. That only true life can be found in Jesus. And what Jesus is saying here takes us back to the first commandment, if you pay attention. So Jesus is reminding us of what God asked of us. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have any other God but me. That is what Jesus is teaching us here. So to hate father, to hate mother, to hate brother, sister, children, even our own selves, means to place every loyalty, every allegiance on God, and to make God number one in our lives. Make God the beginning and the end, the center of our lives. That's what Jesus is asking us. In our Christian faith and in the Catholic Church, there is a high priority placed on martyrdom, persecution of Christians. The blood of the martyrs is said to be the seed of faith. Why? Because the martyrs give all for the sake of Christ. They give everything. Think about people living in persecuted areas. Just think about them. Every morning they wake up, they go to church. As they are going to church, they are not sure of coming back. They're not sure of returning to their homes. But still, they wake up and they go. Perhaps yesterday it didn't happen. They go again. And they are persecuted. They face obstacles. They face challenges. But still, they go to church to worship God, to worship Christ, to be with Christ. Does it mean they don't love their families? The answer is no. Does it mean they don't love their homes? The answer is no. But they understand what Christ gives and who they are following. The love of God spurs such people on. If you have read the Bible, the second book of Maccabees, in chapter 7, describes a scenario. A woman whose 7 sons were massacred, killed the same day. Go read it if you get home today. 2 Maccabees chapter 7. That woman was there, and each of these sons, each of them, at the point of their execution, stood firm and declared very, very openly before the king, "We are not eating this pork meat because we believe in God. We are not compromising our faith." And each of them died, one after the other. So touching, but his heroic faith at work. By the time the last son was to be killed, the king looked at him as if he had some pity, right? And then called the mother and said, "You know, your son can listen to you. Can you talk him out of this death?" And the mom went to that young man, and this is what she said to him. "Do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy, I may receive you again with your brothers." 2 Maccabees chapter 7, verse 29. This woman loved her sons, but understood that commending them to the eternal love of God the Father gives meaning to our horizontal lives here on earth. So that meaning is found in Christ. My dear friends, Jesus is challenging us today. Jesus is asking us to commit and commit fully. To carry our cross often requires sacrifice. To carry our cross requires renouncing our earthly attachments, renouncing our earthly desires, renouncing our earthly passions. And that is the cost of discipleship. In some cases, such decisions contradict the mentality of the world. And that is why faith is a sign of contradiction. If you don't understand it, you won't live it. If you don't understand that faith is a sign of contradiction in this world, then you will succumb to the pressures. So Jesus describes us as kings. Jesus describes us as builders, and he uses those images to communicate. Who is this man who wants to build and does not sit down and calculate the cost? By baptism, and at the moment of our baptism, we begin to erect this structure. We begin to build. We begin to build. Each day we are building the mansion for ourselves in heaven. And it is the wisdom of God that helps us to understand the cost of this building. By baptism, we are kings. And as kings, we command kingdom. As kings, we lead forces. As kings, we have forces under us. But when you are commanding kingdom as a king, when you are leading forces as a king, the opposition force fights to do what? To snatch your kingdom from you. That is what the devil does. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, the devil wants to tear down your kingdom, the kingdom that you build by faith. But Jesus says you have to do what? You have to recognize that God is there with you to build this kingdom. And that is why he says to you, "Come to me, come to me, come to me, all you who labor. Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest." So my dear friends, faith is not cheap. Faith can never be cheap. Faith is costly. Your faith is costly. Know that. If you recognize that your faith is costly, then you preserve it. You fight for it. You protect it. You guard it. You work for it. Otherwise, the enemy takes it away from you. My question for you this week is, what does following Jesus cost you? Think about that. What does following Jesus cost you? Are there times when you are faced with making choices, choices between God and this, between God and your love, between God and your health, between God and your work, between God and politics, between God and whatever choice is that? Are there times you are faced with it? What are those times like for you? And how did you get out of it? The promise from Jesus is this: everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100-fold as much and will inherit eternal life. Amen.